what if you really, really go for it? And what if you do get rejected? A few years ago, a high school senior from New Jersey actually threw himself off the building, the roof of a school, and killed himself because he got into Northwestern, but he didn't get into Harvard, Yale, Princeton. And I wrote this: you just found out that the college you desperately wanted so much doesn't want you. It's painful. It hurts. You're dejected that you've been rejected. It's true that this is a cruel blow to your self-esteem. It's not true that all your hopes and dreams are now destroyed. Your future is not over. Of course, you're devastated. Look at all the time, effort, and money you and your parents put into the whole college visitation application process. Guidance counselors, private college counselors, tutors, test prep courses, college visits, interviews, essays, SATs, etc. It's been grueling. You put your heart and soul into this game of college admissions roulette, and you feel like you've been shot in the heart. After all this preparation, you have your highest hopes destroyed by some one-page template letter that doesn't seem fair. I'm not going to give you some Pollyanna-type pep talk and tell you not to worry, that everything's going to turn out all right. What I'm going to tell you is that wallowing in your own misery is not the answer. You must regroup and refocus, and you must start right now. I speak from experience, lots of it. I've been on a college campus since 1964, first as a student, then as a staff member, and now as a professor. And there's one big mystery about college I've never been able to solve. Why are students putting in so much time, effort, and energy in finding the so-called right school, the so-called dream school, and so little time, effort, and energy trying to figure out their personal passion once they're in college? Another way I say this is people put so much effort into getting into school, but once they're into school, they're not into school. Are you going to spend the next 4 or 5 years concentrating on how you're going to spend the next 40 or 50 years? Or are you going to spend the next 4 or 5 years just trying to get through school? The late psychiatrist and radio talk show host David Viscott once said, "The purpose of life is to discover your gifts, and the meaning of life comes from giving your gifts away. Rid yourself of regrets and start refocusing on your future right now." No professor and no academic advisor or classmate is going to show you how to follow the yellow brick road to your passion. But you'll receive a lot of help and guidance along the way if you just notice what's happening. I once met a Pulitzer Prize winning historian. Her name is Dr. Doris Kearns Goodwin, at a book signing. And I asked her what she knew now that she wished she knew when she was a freshman in college. She told me the purpose of college is to find what you love. She said she found that she loved studying history and she loved studying political science. So she put them together and she became a presidential historian. And she might be the top presidential historian of all time. So when you eventually attend college, or where you eventually attend college, is not nearly as important as what you're going to do once you get there. Here's some advice for when you arrive at school in September that will help you find your passion. Number one, research. Who are the most passionate professors on your campus? Take their courses, regardless of what they teach, regardless of when they meet. I joke with my students that most of them probably wouldn't take an 8 a.m. Religion 101 course, even if it were taught by Professor J. Christ. Number two, noted mythologist Joseph Campbell said, follow your bliss. What are the subjects or activities that you find endlessly interesting? What are the things you like to do that energize you? Be a detective. Listen to your heart. Find what you love. And number three, Dr. Joseph Ronzulli, a gifted and talented expert from the University of Connecticut, advises students to carefully examine what they love to do as a child, because this might give you some insight as what you might love to do for a career. There's a story about Jim Henson, the founder of Sesame Street. And his parents said that from his earliest days, he loved to play with puppets. Walt Disney, when he was a little kid, he loved to draw. So that's some advice on what to do if you are rejected from the school of your dreams. And guess what? Sometimes the worst thing that could happen could be the best thing that could happen. I think Garth Brooks wrote a song called Thank God for Unanswered Prayers. And it was a story about his high school girlfriend who dumped him. And all he wanted in life, he prayed to God that they would be together forever. And years later, he was at a high school football game, and he was married, and he couldn't have been happier. And he saw his old girlfriend. He's saying, what did I ever see in her? You know, I'm so happy now. It would have been a mistake if I ever married her. So it's like that with college. Thank God for unanswered prayers. So from Frank Bruni's book, Where You Go Is Not Who You'll Be, he published this letter. Now, these parents and their son, Matt, were in this whole death struggle to get into the right school. But the parents rose above the fray. And, you know, a lot of times these schools, in early April, they send out their announcements, late March, early April. So before he got any of the announcements, whether he was going to get accepted to school or not, his parents gave him this letter. So the next week was going to determine where he was going to get in. Here's what they wrote. Dear Matt, on the night before you received your first college response, we wanted to let you know that we could not be any prouder of you than we are today. Whether or not you get accepted does not determine how proud we are of everything you have accomplished and the wonderful person you have become. That will not change based on what admissions officers decide about your future. We will celebrate with joy wherever you get accepted. And the happier you are with those responses, the happier we will be. But your worth as a person, a student, and our son is not diminished or influenced in the least by what these colleges have decided. If it does not go your way, you'll take a different route to get where you want. There is not a single college in this country that would not be lucky to have you, and you are capable of succeeding at any of them. We love you as deep as the ocean, as high as the sky, all the way around the world and back again, and wherever you are headed. Love, Mom and Dad.
Very nice.
So I think that's great advice.
The college, ultimately, it's a business. They're in the business of selling education for profit.
And you're absolutely right. I think in my lifetime, there's something that happened in 1992. The colleges went from being educational institutions to businesses. And I know at my school, which is a regular state school, it's called the Golden Hour. The Golden Hour is when you bring kids on campus and you give them a tour. And you have 1 hour to sell them on your school. Like our school, we built an incredible recreation center for working out and intramurals and stuff like that. We didn't build it for the kids at school. We built it for the Golden Hour. So a lot of this is status. A lot of this is sales. A lot of this, it's really, really interesting. And they want as many people as they can to apply, whether you're going to get in or not. They just want everybody to apply to their school. And it's the same with my little school. We're in a struggle with other state schools from New Jersey to get as many applicants so our ratings will go up and we could take the more qualified applicants.
What are maybe three great schools around the country that are not that expensive that you know are incredible schools?
Well, I'm glad you said that because I did a lot of research. And at the end of the next session, I want you to ask me any question you have. But let me present all the information about different schools first, okay?
Okay, let's do it.
Okay, now let me just summarize this session on where you go is not who you'll be. And I want to be really forceful. Because drawing on my experience, I truly feel that the best advice I could give you is this. Be a big fish in a small pond. I remember when I went to UMass, and I was on the wrestling team at UMass, and we were Division I in wrestling, and Amherst College was Division III in wrestling. And 1 year, Amherst College got a New York State champion wrestler. I mean, this guy probably could have gone to Iowa or Oklahoma. He could have gone anywhere. He went to Amherst College. Every Saturday when there was a home wrestling meet, the whole school would show up to see this guy. He was so fabulous, you know? Now, if he went to Oklahoma or Iowa, he probably would have made the team, but he wouldn't have been a superstar. So I firmly believe that that's a lot for our psyche when we're a big fish in a small pond. I don't want to say the name of this person because he comes from a well-known football family, but I knew him in high school, and he was a very, very good high school quarterback. And I said, hey, why don't you come to Montclair State? You could be the best quarterback in the history of the state of New Jersey. And he laughed at me. And he had a mediocre college career. He had a few bumps along the way. But I really believe, whether it's academically or athletically, to be a big fish in a small pond. You know, if you graduate number one in your class, I mean, you go to Harvard, everybody's number one in their class. If you're the class president, I think one out of two people who are cadets at West Point were president of their high school class. And I'm not saying to be competitive, but it really does something when you could really, really excel at something. So I tell all the athletes I work with, and I tell all the students I work with, to be a big fish in a small pond. And if you're in the wrong pond, there's always something called transferring.